God does have the whole world in his hand. The Bible tells us that he created it. Not only did he create it, but he holds it together today. In the book of Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, the Bible says this, "For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist." In other words, he does keep it all together today. Not only does he hold this world in his hands, God also holds eternity in his hands. You see, when this world is over, we just don't cease to exist. When this world is over, every single person in this room and every single person in this world is going to live forever. Your soul will never die. Yeah, this body will, for a while, go into the grave and it will decay and it will return to the dust from which it's made. But your soul, that part of you that God created, that part of you that's really you, is going to live forever. And this morning, we want to tell you how to live forever with God. You see, in eternity, you only got two choices. You can either live with God or you can live without God. And since God made us, and since God holds eternity in his hands, I think it would be the wise choice for anyone to make to decide they want to live with God forever. Now, the way to do that is to do just what that last song says. Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. The hands that were scarred on Calvary's cross. The hands that were scarred by the nails that they drove through them to hold him to the cross. This morning, again, through song and scripture, we're going to remind you why you need to do that. And we're going to encourage you and tell you the truth from this book that the only way that you can live with God forever in eternity is to come to Jesus Christ. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." You see, the Bible tells us that we were made, that we were created, that God put us together to be with him. And this morning, if you're here and you don't have a relationship with God, if you don't have fellowship with God, if you're honest with yourself, there's something missing in your life. Now, we try to fill it up with what the world has to offer, and people chase after things of the world, but when they catch them, and when they have them for a while, they say like Solomon, "All is vanity and vexation of spirit." Because that part of you that was created with God can never, ever be satisfied with anything that the world has to offer. The only thing that will satisfy that part of you that was made to be with God is God himself. You say, "Well, preacher, if I was made to fellowship with God, why wouldn't I have a relationship with him?" And the answer to that is one word, sin. Sin. Disobedience to God. Sin is what separates us from God. Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden, and God had to kick him out of the garden. He was separated from God. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, "Wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." And again, that verse is not talking about physical death. It's talking about spiritual death. It's talking about being separated from God. Now, we're all sinners. The Bible tells us that in Romans chapter 3, verse 10, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." In Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And in Romans 6:23, it tells us again that the wages of that sin, what we deserve because of that sin, is death, when the Bible says very clearly and very straightforward and very simply, the wages of sin is death. And that's why Jesus came. He came to save us from that death. He came to pay the price for our sin. He came to be our substitute. There is no friend like Jesus. In Romans chapter 5, verses 7 and 8, the Bible says this, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth," or proved, "or showed his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Jesus said in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." He came to cleanse us from sin. Thousands of years before Jesus came, the prophet Isaiah wrote these words in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they should be as wool." We long to have our sins paid for. We long to be, like that song says, whiter than snow. We long to have a relationship with our Creator and with our God. But I would remind you this morning, God is a righteous God. Even though He wants that same relationship with us, He just can't forget that we're sinners. The price of sin must be paid. That's why in the book of Philippians it tells us that Jesus left heaven. That's why He took the form of a servant. That's why He was made in the likeness of men. That's why He humbled Himself and became obedient to the will of God. Jesus said on several occasions, "I didn't come to do my will. I came to do the will of my Father that sent me." And I think the greatest expression of this submission was when Jesus was on His knees in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was praying hours before He was crucified, and He said this, "Father, if Thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but Thine be done." He took the form of a servant. He was made in the likeness of men. He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. On the cross, Jesus was forsaken. The crowd taunted and reviled Him. All but one of His disciples fled. Even God the Father, because of the sin that was placed on His Son, turned His back on Jesus. And that fourth cross saying, the one that was made toward the ninth hour, toward the end of the darkness, when Jesus cried out, "My God, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me?" was when He was forsaken by men, when He was forsaken by the angels, when He was forsaken by God Himself. When God laid on Him the sin of every single person, Jesus died, and He died alone. The cross of Christ, it's the pinnacle of all human history. All before it, look back to it. All before it, look forward to it. All after it, look back. What happened on Calvary's cross made a way for each of us to spend eternity with God. I'll remind you this morning, I preached about it the last couple of weeks, and I'll mention it again tonight. It wasn't the Roman soldiers who offered up Christ. It wasn't the Jewish religious leaders that offered Him up. It was God. In Isaiah 53, verse 10, the Bible says, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. He hath put Him to grief." In John 3:16, the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." And then in Romans chapter 8, verse 32, the Bible says, "He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all." When we look at Calvary, what we ought to see is the love of God poured out to all sinful men. Jesus cried with a loud voice, "Father, into Thy hands I commend my spirit." And then the Bible says that He gave up the ghost. A man named Joseph and a man named Nicodemus took His body down from the cross. They wrapped it in spices and burial clothes, and they laid Him in a borrowed tomb. And for 3 days and three nights, the body lay in that grave. But early on Sunday morning, life returned to that body. The earth shook, and God rolled the stone back away from the entrance to that tomb. Not so that Jesus could get out, but so that the world could look in and see that he was no longer there. The angel said to the ladies that came to visit the tomb early that morning, "Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen." We're all sinners. The wages of sin is death, separation from God. Jesus on the cross paid what we owed, and he offers to each of us the gift of eternal life, the gift of spending eternity with God. All we have to do is receive it. In John chapter 1, verse 12, the Bible says this, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Would you do that today? Would you take your hand and would you put it in the hands that were scarred on Calvary's cross for you? By doing so, what you're saying is, "Jesus, I trust you to take care of my sin. Jesus, I trust you to make me right with my God. Jesus, I trust you in what you did on Calvary to be the total and complete payment for everything that I owe God." The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." And I know of no better day for a man or a woman or a teenager or for a boy or a girl to come and receive Jesus Christ than on that day that we celebrate the resurrection. And so if you're here this morning and you don't have a relationship with God, you don't know what it is to be part of the family of God, I would beg you this morning, please do not leave this service without knowing for sure that you're one of his children. And you do that, again, just like the choir sang, by coming to Christ and trusting him. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody else comes to the Father. Nobody else comes to God any other way. You can't do it by being good. You can't do it by joining the church. You can't do it by getting baptized. You can't do it by taking the Lord's Supper. All those are good things after you get saved. The only thing that will make you right with God is to come to Christ. Would you do that this morning? Let's pray. Father, I pray that the words of the song and the words of the scriptures would go in deep into our hearts. And I pray, Father, every person here that doesn't know Christ, today would be the day that they put aside what they're trusting and they come to Jesus. Today would be the day that they quit trusting themselves and they quit trusting what they can do and they quit trusting what other people can do for them. And Father, they come and trust the only one that can make them right with you. I pray for every little boy. I pray for every little girl, every teenager, every adult that doesn't know Christ. I pray today would be their day of salvation. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.